talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Current temperature is 86 degrees. Believe it or not, the wind is out of the north, northwest, about 3 to 4 miles an hour, but it feels like it's 88. Brent Metters with the North Fork Electric Co-op is in the red room today, and during today's show, we're going to be talking about electric co-ops, electricity, irrigation, what else we got? Solar. We got all kinds of things. It's going to be a fun show today. It's going to take two segments. Brent and I have already decided it's going to be a long conversation. But if you have any questions for us, you can text in to the KECO Ag Line at 580-225-9697 with any of your questions. We are streaming live on Facebook if you want to watch a comedy show. Brent's already over there getting his face just right in that camera. But our tower repairs were done yesterday, finally, and we're back to full signal on KECO 96.5. And so we got plenty of power there. You can also go to the Paragon app and download that on your phone if you want to listen to it. But right after this break, I'll be back to discuss electric co-ops and other things with Brent. So we'll be right back. Anyway.
Hi, I'm Randy Renner on First Oklahoma Ag. Following the June 30th USDA acreage report, markets are watching demand factors and potential weather impacts to crops. Michael Clements shares more details about the report.
The June 30th acreage report confirmed farmers have planted more corn and soybean acres this year compared to last. AFBF economist Shelby Myers outlines the data reported by USDA.
USDA is estimating the corn planted area will be 92.7 million acres, which is up 2% compared to 2020, but it's also an increase of 1.6 million acres from what was first reported in the March prospective plantings report for corn acres. Soybean planted acres remain at the 87.6 million acres that was also reported in March, and that's up 5% from 2020.
However, Myers says the report indicates no major expansion of production despite rising prices of corn and soybeans.
Corn and soybean future prices have risen 23% for corn and 16% for soybeans compared to where USDA estimates the 2020-21 marketing year prices. So given the current demand expectations that we won't see updated until July 12th, in the WASDE, market indicators imply prices will hover around the current levels that they are, remaining high.
Myers adds the focus now is on weather-related market impacts.
Attention has definitely shifted to monitor weather impacts, and that will really determine the crop quality and overall supply quantity. We're monitoring drought in the west, and that's simply moving eastward, and you've seen heavy rains in the south and along the Mississippi Delta region. That all could really cause current supply estimates of these principal crops to drop if the weather conditions aren't ideal.
Learn more at fb.org/market intel. Michael Clements, Washington.
All right, Michael, thanks. This is First Oklahoma Ag.
Take care, Grandma.
Okay, baby. Don't forget to let me know the second you get there.
Yes, ma'am.
My grandson always tells me I worry about him too much. And of course I do. I'm his grandma. Well, I was worried sick when he came home from Afghanistan. He came back wounded. It wasn't a wound you could see. It was a wound inside. Post-traumatic stress disorder. My T couldn't sleep. He was angry all the time. He felt like he didn't fit in anywhere. Then I heard about this group, Wounded Warrior Project. People helping warriors like T. So I figured who better to help my grandson than people who could understand what he'd been through. Now, I don't know what they do there, but my T is smiling again. So I figured they must be good people.
One out of every five warriors returned from the battlefield with post-traumatic stress disorder. Help support them at WoundedWarriorProject.org.
For the second month in a row, the Ag Economy Barometer declined sharply. Released this week, the most recent survey fell to 137. That's 21 points below a month ago and the weakest estimate reading since July of last year. Producers in June were less optimistic about both current conditions on their farming operations as well as their expectations for the future. Weakening perceptions of current conditions on their farms was the biggest driver of the barometer's decline, as the index of current conditions dropped 29 points to 149, the lowest reading since September of 2020. Producers were also less optimistic about the future, as the index of future expectations dropped 17 points to 132, the lowest future expectations index reading since July of last year. This is First Oklahoma Ag.
Would you know what to do if your heart was sending an alert? AFib may have symptoms, including a racing heartbeat, dizziness, lightheadedness, shortness of breath, or AFib may have no symptoms at all. AFib is linked with a 5 times greater risk for stroke. Visit heart.org/AFib awareness today. Brought to you by the American Heart Association and the American Stroke Association.
That's Check Ag News. Have a great day. Greg Merrick, First Oklahoma Ag.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
All right. It's 11 minutes after the hour. Current temperature is 86 degrees. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. And our special guest in the Red Room today is Mr. Brent Metter with the North Fork Electric Co-op. And welcome, sir.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, before we get into our conversation about power, irrigation, green, solar panels, will you tell everybody a little bit about yourself?
You bet. Grew up in Western Oklahoma. My family is from the Delhi communities where my parents grew up and came from. I'm a graduate from Southwestern Oklahoma State in Weatherford, the year 2000. Married my wife, my beautiful wife, that same year, Casey Coker, from just north of Sweetwater. I've got two wonderful children. I think they're out checking cattle right now, Jimmy. I'm getting text messages that they're looking for a calf. But anyway, Jill will be a junior. Austin will be an eighth grader. And live south of Elk City here in the Merritt community. My kids go to Elk City schools. And we've got a little small registered Angus herd and sell some hay. I've been at the First National Bank for the last 20 years since I got out of college, and went to North Fork Electric as the general manager February 1st of this year.
And we're glad you did.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm enjoying it, loving it. Lots of new challenges, something new for me to focus on.
Well, before we continue on our discussion, I was looking at the annual report you sent out.
Yes, sir.
And you got a copy there. And I was looking at the picture, and I was wondering, what's up with Bandy Silk? I mean, I know he's the treasurer and everything, but is the treasurer, like, required to wear a different colored suit because of maybe a fire in the building? They can figure out who he is, or is it security reasons because he carries all the money?
We like to offset Bandy and get him over there in his own corner. He kind of carries himself his own way, and so we appreciate what he brings to the table.
Treasurer, really?
Yeah, he is our
You're
money
the
guy.
Banker.
I know. He's our money guy.
We're just razzing you, Bandy. Don't get off your rose on your peanuts, because I know you're spraying right now. But they, on to the co-op. What's explain to everybody what a rural co-op like North Fork? Explain to what it is.
You bet. So, you know, my personal experience in the co-op world, I've been a member owner. I like to use the word owner.
Yeah.
But I've been a member owner of North Fork since right around 2002. So if you consume power from North Fork, you're an owner. You own part of North Fork Electric.
Right.
We have 6,500 meters. Everybody that has a meter is a part owner. That looks a little different than the electric provider here in town. We have 6,500 meters, but we've got 2,500 miles of line.
Right.
So if you do the math on that, Jimmy, that's 2.6 meters per mile. So that doesn't sound too bad.
I've never thought of it that way, but that's...
And then you think of it in town, like right here at Oak City, Pioneer Street, right out here. Well, you got to go all the way east to Randall to take up a mile. So how many meters are from Pioneer to Randall in town?
A bunch.
Way more than 2.6.
Yeah, way more than... Well, so, I know my nearest neighbor out there is 2 miles from my house.
You bet. So with that... you know, I think some of the things I hear is, man, North Fork's power is expensive. It's more than what I pay in town. Why is it so expensive? You know, it's not a secret. Power in the country, it's more expensive. We don't have as many members, meters. We have more miles of line. It's going to cost more.
Yep.
We're thankful that back in the 30s, that rural electrification became a reality. It became a reality through the government and through loans that are available through the government that are cheap. And basically, it brought lights to the country. That's what it's all about. And the only way to do that was to create a co-op where all of the members basically take care of the expenses. It's member-owned and member-controlled. We have a board of 7 people. We have 7 districts.
We were just bad-mouthed. Or I was just bad-mouthed.
You were just bad-mouthing one of them. Yeah. But there's actually 6 more of them.
Yeah.
And so... They are your voice. If you live in their district, they are your voice to how North Fork is run, what we spend money on, where we build line, where we don't build line, so on and so forth. So they are your voice as a part owner.
You're listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KCO, and I got Brent Metter with the North Fork Electric Co-op in here with me. What's some of the challenges of the co-ops today?
The biggest challenges and my passion, I'm pretty passionate about some things in the rural electric co-op, but the biggest challenges are keeping electricity affordable. And with that, we've got to do more with less. Nothing's getting cheaper. The vehicles that we drive, they're not getting cheaper. The bucket truck's not getting cheaper. The digger's not getting cheaper. The poles, the line, you name it, it's all going up. So we have those challenges, and my passion is for us to stay North Fork Electric.
Yep.
And so the co-op world is not immune to these consolidations or mergers, if you will. You've seen the John Deere dealerships, the Case dealerships, the GM, the Ford, so on. We had dealerships in all of these little towns, and now we've kind of gone to regional dealerships.
Right.
So the co-op world, electric co-op world, you're seeing the same thing. You're seeing some co-ops. 2 co-ops become 1. 3 co-ops become 1.
Recently, last year.
That's right.
Right next to us.
That's right. Our neighbor to the east, that's what they did.
Yep.
They merged. Not saying that's bad. I am saying that I think we lose reliability when that happens. The Durhams of the world, the Texolas, the Sweetwaters, the Radens, all those communities that are on what I like to say the end of the line to the west, If we merge, if something like that happens, they're not going to have the reliability that they have today.
Well, if you do merge, the other co-op, I'm not going to say a name, we're just talking here, but if you do merge, probably most of that other co-op is, what's Durham? Is that a town?
Right.
Where's it at? Roe?
That's right.
What are you guys talking about? We know where it's at.
That's right.
You guys know where it's at.
You bet.
Yeah, we don't need that.
That's right. That's right. So that's probably the biggest challenge, and my biggest passion is for us to get our expenses as low as we can, run it as lean as we can, and be sure that we keep the reliability. We keep it affordable. It's not going to be the cheapest. I've already said that. It's not going to be the cheapest.
No.
But it is going to be affordable, and it is going to be reliable. That's our goal.
Sounds like you got a plan.
I've got a plan.
You got a plan. That's great. When you got a plan, you got a good boss. Whether it's a good plan or a bad plan, as long as you got a plan, you're going to go somewhere. But I noticed, go ahead, sorry.
I will say about my plan, I want to give a shout out to my people. North Fork Electric is not what it is today because of Brent Metter.
Right.
North Fork Electric is what it is today because of our employees that have been there a long time. They've poured their heart and souls into that place. We've got lots of longevity, and they've made it what it is, and I want to give them the credit.
So. Oh, well, that's good. That's where the credit goes because they're the backbone of the company.
You bet.
I, myself, noticed some changes in the irrigation policies.
Yes, sir.
Will you explain that to everybody?
Yeah, so the way that our electricity is billed to us from Western Farmers, Western Farmers is in Anadarko. They are our power supplier. That's where our power comes from. They are generating the power through wind turbines, solar, natural gas, and coal. And so it's coming down the lines. We're buying it from them. And how they bill us has changed dramatically over the last 5 years. It's going to change dramatically again over the next 5 years. We'll talk about that a little more in a minute.
Okay.
But what's happened on the irrigation charges? So used to what we call demand, was they would charge us demand for a 12-month period. We get charged a demand. So used to that demand was set on a what we call a peak day in August. Okay, and those peak days, we're going to, on a certain day, they wouldn't tell us which day. They just tell us it's going to be a peak day. And so they would come in and they would set what we call our generation demand for the next 12 months based on what we were pulling in load on that day at that time. And so we've always made our irrigators curtail
right
on those peak days. We'll call it, and the time frame has changed over the years. It used to be, and don't hold me to this because I don't know exactly, but it used to be like 1 to 4, and then it was 2 to 5, and then it was 2 to 6, and it's kind of a moving target. But at the end of the day, the demand charges are changing from Western Farmers. They are going to a transmission demand instead of a generation demand. And so a transmission demand is figured every single month, not on a peak day in August.
Right.
Okay, and so every single month, whatever, when Western Farmers hits their peak for the whole system across the whole state, whatever we're pulling that day, that's our demand for the next 12 months. And so it doesn't matter necessarily how many irrigators are watering. It doesn't matter what all's going on. It can be any time. It all has to do with when Western Farmers hits their demand. And so having our irrigators curtail is becoming less and less of a discount to us. It used to, by them turning off, it was a huge discount to all the other 6,500 meters.
Right.
And we've appreciated them doing that through all the years. Today, it doesn't make that much difference. And it is a major, major issue for them to go get those turned off.
It is.
And then you just get them turned off, and you got to turn around and go turn them all back on.
Yep.
Here's the next issue with turning them on all back on. When you turn them all back on, you create a new demand.
Yep.
You create a new high. Because
they come
they're all
at once.
That's right. So used to, Western Farmers would look at that and say, okay, we're going to call it at 3 o'clock. And at 3 o'clock on that day, that's the demand for the next 12 months. They didn't care what was going on at 6 o'clock when everybody turned back on.
Right.
Now, it doesn't have to do with the time of day. It has to do with when we hit the peak. So by having everybody turn on at one time, we're actually setting a new peak, creating another issue.
Yeah.
And so that was part of the reason. There's more changes coming in billing, and when I say that, I don't mean there's more money needed from our members to us.
We're changing to adapt.
That's right. We're changing to adapt how we need to bill you, how we are getting billed, to where you're not subsidizing me,
right?
And I'm not subsidizing you. I'm paying my own way, and you're paying your own way. That's what we've got to get to.
We got to take a little break. When we come back, Brent and I will take this subject up again and talk some solar power. But it's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Be right back.
Good day, Calvin Wright with Beef Industry News. And coming up, NCBA and NFU welcoming USDA Product of USA Action. We'll explain in a moment.
In America, the future belongs to everyone. So we built the Ford F-Series for everyone. America's best-selling trucks for 44 years straight. Because the trucks of the future are built for America. Ford F-Series. Drive one today. Based on 1977 to 2020 calendar year total sales. Visit your Oklahoma Ford dealer to take advantage of great offers available now on Ford F-150, Ranger, and Super Duty. Choose from low financing and big cash rebates. See your best in Oklahoma Ford dealer today.
Oklahoma owned and Oklahoma grown. At Stillwater Milling Company, manufacturers of A&M feeds. At Stillwater Milling Company, they take pride in the A&M livestock feeds, focusing on quality ingredients that yield quality products. You'll see the fleet of Orange Mack trucks delivering throughout Oklahoma. They want you on their list, whether you're feeding one pony or 1,000 cows. There's A&M feeds that are right for you. Make the best choice. Call Stillwater Milling Company today at 1-800-364-6804 for the branch or dealer location nearest you.
National Cattlemen's Beef Association and National Farmers Union support the top-to-bottom review of the product of the USA label. The review was announced last week by the Department of Agriculture, and it follows a vote to strengthen the regulation by the Federal Trade Commission. NCBA President Jerry Bond says, quote, NCBA members have voiced concerns about the potentially misleading use of the label, and we thank USDA for responding to those concerns, end quote. National Farmers Union has long been concerned about the label, which is legally applied to beef and pork that was born, raised, and slaughtered in another country but processed in the United States. The organization recently urged FTC and USDA to strengthen voluntary U.S. origin claims on labels and penalize those who incorrectly label products.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Music gets better sounding every time I listen to that intro. It's pretty cool. It is 87 degrees at 1225, and Brett Manners in the studio with me on Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO. He is the COO, right?
I'm the general manager and CFO.
Come on, help me out here.
I'm the numbers guy. So.
Yeah, he's the numbers guy. But we before we went to break, we were talking irrigation, the billing process, how the peak deals. I can say from my experience, I run two irrigation wells over there west of Carter on the river, and I had to put timers on because from my house around to the river, no matter which way you go, is 21 miles.
You bet.
And I had to go around there and turn them off. So I spent the money and put timers on them and hope they work every time.
You bet.
And so, and I know, like, my pivot down at Grant, it's not on North Fork, but it's on PSO. I got it on my phone. But, you know, so it's easy. A lot of things are easy to operate, but not everybody has that.
That's right.
And so, but how did the billing actually change as far as, I know last year we had a horsepower charge, and we still do, but it's.
Right. So horsepower charge to irrigators, I consider it, I like to call it a service availability charge. Basically, it's our charge to have that service there. Whether you buy any power from us or not, we still have an expense of providing that service. Our facilities are still there ready for you to use anytime you want. And so that's what you're paying, whether you buy power, you know, whether you use it or not, that's your fee.
Yeah.
We took that and we divided it up by 6 months. We used to let you do a workout plan if you wanted to anyway, but you had to make the phone call. Right. And a lot of you did. A lot of you irrigators called and we worked it out with you. I just went ahead and I presented to the board and they went with it and approved it. Just go ahead and divide that up by 6 months. Do it in the months where they're watering. They've already got a bill those months. They're making income. They're making a crop. If they're using their line of credit for expenses, they're using that at that time anyway. It's just more convenient instead of all at one time. It was a little too much.
Last year, I struggled a little bit, and I'm not bashful about saying it because I've been off work for a year during
you
the
bet.
Pandemic.
You bet.
And I thought I was going to have to sell my dog
right.
to pay the horse.
You bet. You bet. And we backed off the charge, too. It's not as much as it once was.
I noticed that,
so,
too.
That's right.
And that's great.
That's right.
Well, let's talk solar power.
Okay.
The subject you and I talked about on that yesterday on solar power, you brought some stuff to my attention that I didn't even think about. And this is going to, you guys need to listen here because this is going to be great.
So over the years, Jimmy, I've been blessed to have a lot of great mentors in the banking world and my personal life. And my bank attorney, when I was at the First National Bank, great guy, learned a ton from him. And when we would talk sheriff sale in the banking world, his motto, if you will, was buyer beware.
Right.
And so that's my new motto when it comes to solar power for your home, is buyer beware. There's a lot of crooked business in the solar business. The solar companies have basically sold solar to, if not every home on the East and the West Coast, to most of them. They have run out of customers. You've got states like California where you're required, if you build a new house, it's going to have solar panels on it.
Right.
It's mandated.
Right.
So they're migrating to the middle part of the country. They're coming this way.
They're coming this way.
And so if you look on Facebook, you can there's solar ads every third or fourth deal you look at. There's a solar ad. They're calling you at home.
Yep.
They're in the newspaper. You bet. They're not local companies.
Nope.
They're all fly-by-night companies that are coming this way. So here's the deal. We are not anti-solar at Norfolk Electric. If you want to put solar out there, we're great with that.
You have solar out in front of your building.
That's where I was going.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Then that's the perfect example. We put a solar system in front of our building. And I say we. I was not part of Norfolk at that time. This was forward thinking by previous management. Get it installed. Let's see what it's doing. Put it out there. Put it in front of the headquarters. Let everybody know we're not against it. And so we have a 4 kW solar system. It's tied right into our meter there at the headquarters. You can get on our website and you can see exactly what it's produced on the hot days, the cold days, the sunny days, the rainy days. It's all on there for the last 36 months on Norfolk Electric's website.
If you're just joining us, this is Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO. I'm Jimmy Clark, and I have Brent Metter in here. He is the COO. Is that what you want?
No, sure. Kidding.
He's the general manager out here at North Fork Electric Co-op, and right now we're talking about solar power.
You bet. So we want to be educational about solar. That's why we have that system there. There's two reasons why someone would want to go solar. Number one, you want to go solar because you think it's going to save you some money. Or number two, you want to go solar because you want to be green. And when I say green, it meaning you want to do what's best for the environment. So let's talk a little bit of why you would do it to save money. So with our 4 kW solar system that we have at headquarters, we know exactly what it'll produce, exactly what you are making with those solar panels, and you're pumping that back into our lines through our meter and basically offsetting your bill, if you will.
Right.
And so you can real easily, depending on what you, if a 4 kW system costs $15,000 and it is going to help you by $35 or $40 a month, then take $15,000 divided by $34 or $35 or $36 a month. And
without
you can figure
any
out
repairs,
without any true. Repairs, you can figure out the math. I'm going to tell you, it's 18 to a 20 year payback with no repairs, no breakdowns, no tornado blows it away, no hailstone breaks it. It's an 18 to 20 year payback. And so that's what you're looking at investment wise.
So you just say, for talking right here between you and I, you're going to save $35 a month by going solar,
right?
But you still got a minimal electric bill, right?
That's right. So with that, and you could save more than that per month if you put in a bigger system, but a bigger system costs more money.
Right.
So, but yes, with that, you still are partners with us. You're
yeah.
still a member owner. You still have to have your Norfolk meter to pump this power
you gotta
into.
You got to pay your share.
It's not going to produce any power at nighttime. So you're still going to have a service availability charge. We still have to put those lines back up when the ice comes through, when the wind blows. We've got to take care of that system. So you still got to have us. You're still going to pay a minimal fee for that. So our cost of service study shows that we need to collect $80 a month from you as a residential customer, whether you buy any power from me or not, just to have that meter sitting there ready to go. That's what the number is. So that's still going to be, in effect, you're still going to be paying that. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
The other reason that you would go solar is because you want to be green.
Yeah, that was my next question.
Okay, so... So if you decide it's not going to save you money, or if that's not your driving force, then the other force would be that I'm just really sold on, I want to be green, I want to do what's right for the environment. And so to those people, I would say this, please consider, before you go get in that investment, before you maintain it yourself and spend that kind of money, consider how green your power is that's already coming from Norfolk Electric. So a lot of people don't know how green it is.
This was interesting yesterday.
So we buy our power from Western Farmers. We've already talked about that. I pulled last week what Western Farmers generation was. Last week, for the whole state, Western Farmers generated 62,989 megawatt hours. Okay, not minutes, but hours. Of the 62,000, 48,248 megawatt hours was wind. 1,245 megawatt hours was solar. And 13,496 megawatt hours was natural gas. And they didn't produce anything with coal last week. Okay? So that breaks down like this. 76% of your power coming through your North Fork meter last week was green. It was wind. 2% was solar, so it also was green. So that's a total of 78% of the power coming through your meter.
It's already green.
It's already green. So with that, I say, let the big guys get into the green business. You can see it. You see the wind turbines. You're seeing these big solar farms. They're pumping that power. They're creating that power, and they're selling it to Western farmers. Western farmers are selling it to North Fork. We're going green as a whole already. So just, I don't want to discourage you, but I want to be educational. And we've got people at North Fork that will talk you through if you want to put in solar. We'll talk through. You tell us what it's going to cost, what kind of bids you're getting. We'll tell you what your bill's going to look like, how long it's going to take you to pay back. Just call us first. Please, please, please call us first. Let us have that conversation with you.
Yeah.
Buyer beware.
Yeah, buyer beware. And you guys probably do have a list of legitimate people that can be used.
You bet. You bet. In fact, we sold them at one time, the company, and this will tell you a little bit about the solar business. The company that we sold them from, guess what? They went out of business. And we thought, we researched it for a long time, and we thought they were going to be the company that was going to stick it out. And you're going to be able to get parts from and be able to get systems from. They're already out of business.
And you're already almost 80% green already with the juice you're using off of your line.
That's right.
And that's right. So what are you going to do unless you just want to brag to somebody, I'm green.
That's
you're
right.
Already green.
The cheapest part of your bill is going to be the fuel consumption. What your actual consumption of electricity is the cheapest part. The most expensive part? It's the service availability charge. What does it cost us to have that there, whether you use it or not? That's the most expensive part. That's not changing, whether you have solar or not. You don't have solar. So,
well, it's, and then
staying the same.
On the flip side, like on my side, on the ranch and farm side, solar has its purposes.
You bet.
And water wells out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And electric fence charger. It has its purpose, and they pretty much got it down to an art. I mean, my solar panel down there on my well, west of Willow, I mean, it's foggy and it's pumping water.
I mean,
they've got it down to an art.
You bet.
But as far as housing and stuff and requirements and stuff like that, you made some awesome points on that.
My advice is buyer beware. Be sure you know what you're getting into, and probably should leave it to the big boys.
What else do you want to tell our listeners out there?
Our annual meeting. So back to, we're member owned. We're member governed. You have a trustee that serves you if you live in one of our districts. Our annual meeting, we are required by our bylaws to have an annual meeting. It's August 21st. If you haven't been and you're a member of North Fork, you should come. Another passion of mine, another challenge I think we have is to pass on the co-op way of thinking and what a co-op is all about to this next generation. As we've had more people live in the country that aren't ag people, they're living in the country just because they want to live in the country, they haven't completely got their head wrapped around what is a rural co-op? What is an electric co-op? And so I encourage you, come to our annual meeting, be a part of what's going on.
That's in the Sarah Park.
It's in the Sarah Park. We're going to serve a meal. Last year it looked a little weird because of COVID. This year it's going to look normal. Miniature golf will be open for the kids. The swimming pool is going to be open for the kids. We're giving away door prizes. If you're a member and you register, you may win a Kubota lawnmower, brand new. You may win a $1,000 door prize. Those are not coming from us at North Fork. Those are coming from our vendors that we do business with that have graciously donated those. So
sounds like a great time
it's
in the
gonna
park.
Be, it's going to be.
Sarah Park looks wonderful right now. It's green, it's cleaned up, and they're doing a great job at taking care of that. Well, Brent, thank you for being in here today.
You bet.
And it was a great conversation, and hopefully we can have you in again.
Just you bet.
To keep everybody updated on what's going on with our rural co-ops. And we're going to take a break, and it's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Beef Breakeven, your daily look at the cattle industry. Brought to you by Blue and Gold Sausage, serving Oklahoma's fundraising needs for 50 years.
Exercise is hard. So is maintaining a healthy diet. Of course, neither is half as hard as dying. Sadly, type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and stroke kill nearly a million people a year. Even sadder, most of these deaths are preventable with a few lifestyle changes, including regular activity, healthier eating, and not smoking. Talk to your doctor about your risk for type 2 diabetes and heart disease, and if your doctor recommends lifestyle changes or medication, listen. The reason so many die is because not enough are willing to change. You can stop it, starting right now. It's your life. Listen to your doctor. Eat better. Get moving. Visit checkupamerica.org or call 1-800-DIABETES. A message from the American Diabetes Association.
Good day, folks. Calvin Wright. Beef. Break even. The U.S. Department of Agriculture announced changes to the national list of allowed and prohibited substances in organic livestock production. USDA's Agriculture Marketing Service is finalizing three amendments to the national list. Published in the Federal Register last week, the final rule provides additional options for organic farms and businesses by adding three substances to the list of substances allowed for organic production and handling. The final rule allows oxalic acid as a pesticide for use in beekeeping, non-organic pollulan for use in dietary supplements with made with organic claims regarding capsules and tablets, and collagen gel as a casing for organic products like sausages. Once in effect, producers and handlers of organic products will be allowed to use the substances in organic production and the products. USDA says the changes are based on public input and the April 2019 National Organic Standards Board recommendations, the final rule to take effect on July 26th of this year. In other news, Cattlemen's Heritage planning to build a $325 million beef processing plant in southwestern Iowa, a facility to employ 750 people, with a target to begin operations in late 2023, that according to the Des Moines Register newspaper. Cattlemen's Heritage is a newly formed company and plans to build a facility near Council Bluffs to process 400,000 head of cattle annually. They expect to process cattle from Iowa, Nebraska, and South Dakota. The facility to help address the issue of cattle processing capacity in the nation, which is a pretty hot topic these days.
Today in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO. Current temperature is 88 degrees now. Wind still light out of the north. Not even much to talk about there. 5-day forecast. High of 90 today. 30% chance of thunderstorms this afternoon. I'm going to call them pop-ups. Cotton showers. Tomorrow, 92. Friday, 94. Saturday, 94, with a 20% chance of rain during the day, 50% that night, and it's going to cool down to 96 on Sunday. So I'm looking forward to that forecast. Couple of FYI notes for you. Every 10 years, because we have listeners out there in the Texas Panhandle, and we actually have some landowners from Texas that live in Oklahoma. Every 10 years, the state of Texas requires all brands to be re-registered in the county that they operate in. You can start registering your brand August 31st, and it'll last till February of 2022. So get her done on your brand, or it will become available to the public. This also includes ear tags, earmarks, electronic devices—not ear tags, but electronic devices and tattoos. Another FYI for you. Late last week, U.S. Representative Dan Newhouse from Washington State, the state of Washington, not Washington, D.C., successfully had a provision added into the $197 billion USDA FDA funding bill. The provisions would bar China from buying any more U.S. farmland, which I think Oklahoma's already done that. State of Oklahoma's already done that. It also states that any land owned now will become ineligible for farm subsidies. Currently, China owns 192,000 acres in the USA. There is currently 896 million acres of farmland in the USA. After the break, I will be right back to finish up. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
Hello, folks. Calvin Wright, First Oklahoma Ag, and let's check the midday markets Wednesday. Live cattle, August down 205, 120.35. October down 170 at 126.45. Feeder cattle, August down 122, 159.40. September down 135 at 161.37. Lean hogs, July down 87, 109.05. August down 165 at 100.72. July corn up 1 1/4, 657 1/4. September down 7 3/4 at 544 1/4. Kansas City wheat, July up 5 1/4 at 580 3/4. September up 4 3/4 at 588 1/2. Chicago wheat, July up 1 3/4, 621 3/4. September unchanged, 626. October cotton down 15 points, 87.71. December down 35 at 87.05. July soybeans up 26 1/4, 13.90. August up 25 at 13.69 1/4. Crude oil, August down $1.89, 71.48. September down $1.77 at 70.81. We'll check some cattle auction numbers here in a moment.
In America, the future belongs to everyone. So we built the Ford F-Series for everyone. America's best-selling trucks for 44 years straight. Because the trucks of the future are built for America. Ford F-Series. Drive one today. Based on 1977 to 2020 calendar year total sales. Visit your Oklahoma Ford dealer to take advantage of great offers available now on Ford F-150, Ranger, and Super Duty. Choose from low financing and big cash rebates. See your best in Oklahoma Ford dealer today.
Oklahoma owned and Oklahoma grown. That's Stillwater Milling Company, manufacturers of A&M feeds. At Stillwater Milling Company, they take pride in the A&M livestock feeds, focusing on quality ingredients that yield quality products. You'll see the fleet of orange Mack trucks delivering throughout Oklahoma. They want you on their list, whether you're feeding one pony or 1,000 cows. There's A&M feeds that are right for you. Make the best choice. Call Stillwater Milling Company today at 1-800-364-6804 for the branch or dealer location nearest you.
McAlester Union Stockyards, the final numbers for July 6th. Slaughter cattle this week 135, last reported 295, last year 190. Replacement cattle this week 65, last reported 60, last year 30. Feeder cattle this week 975, last reported 1,450, last year 1,550. Now compared to last week, steer calves under 600 pounds, $5 to $7 lower. Over 600 pounds, $2 to $6 higher. Heifer calves, $2 to $5 lower. Demand moderate, quality average. Slaughter cows, $2 to $7 higher. Slaughter bulls steady. A total of 200 cows and bulls sold, with 60% going to Packer.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. First time is Thursday, July the 8th. We're expecting 2,500 cattle. We'll start the auction at 8 a.m. Lamarnette got 31 steers, number 6 to 7. Flypile, 18 steers, 8 and a half. Thomas got 335 steers, 8 to 11. Laverne, 88 heifers, 6.5 to 7.5. Thomas, 60 heifers, 6.5 to 7. Seymour, Texas, 55 steers at 9. Winoka, 62 heifers at 8. Laverne, 32 steers, 8.5. And Visai, 120 steers and heifers at 8. Again, we're expecting 2,500 cattle. We will start the auction 8 a.m. sharp. Remember, we work 100% for the seller. Never lie on the buyer. I stay in the ring start to finish. Make sure we get the most we can. Whether you run 210 or 2,000, we work for you. Thanks again, Jerry Nine and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, we're back. Hey, what a great interview today. Brent Metter with North Fork Electric Co-op was great. A lot of great information. I hope you guys enjoyed it today. Our time currently is 12:48. I'm running out of time, and our temperature is 88 degrees already. Hobart Livestock Auction is happening right now. Tomorrow I'll give you some updates on some sales from over there, some prices on some calves and cows and bulls. Here's your Jimmy tip of the day. And this wasn't planned, but since Electric Co-op was in here today, I got some advice for you. When changing out fuses in your well houses, remember to turn the electricity off. Just your Jimmy tip of the day. Tomorrow, the Dust Bowl Farm and Ranch Festival will be on with us. We got Nelda Tucker and Joe Merrick. They'll be here to discuss what's going on in Sarah this weekend with that Farm and Ranch Dust Bowl Festival going on over there. It's going to be a blast. I'm going to be over there being the KECO Humvee, and also I'm going to have a vegetable stand down there in the park. So it's going to be a fun weekend. Well, that's a wrap for today, and thanks for listening. Have a great day, and God bless.
You've been listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.